Welcome to KPMG's 2023 Capital Market Outlook Podcast. In this episode, we will share perspectives on how the 2023 economic outlook is expected to impact capital market trends in the U.S.
My name is Tishan Gunawardena, and I'm a director at KPMG in New York, and it is a pleasure to be your moderator for today. I'm here with Shari Major, partner in accounting advisory services and KPMG's national capital market readiness leader in the US, and also Ken Kim, senior economist at KPMG. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thanks, Tishan. Really happy to be here today.
Thanks, Tishan, and great to be here with you too, Shari.
To get us started, Shari, can you please share with us a quick recap of the key highlights from your perspective regarding the capital market trends in 2022?
Sure, Tishan, I'd be happy to. I thought it made sense to start first with 2020 and 2021. As these were record years for the IPO market, as companies were executing both traditional IPOs and direct listings, but also feverish capital raising by SPAC and the subsequent number of de-SPAC transactions. In 2021, we probably saw the most diverse ways for companies to access the public markets through a variety of different transaction types. We saw the traditional IPO, the advent of SPACs or the return of SPACs in a major way, reverse mergers, and also a handful of small direct listings. 318 U.S. companies went public on U.S. exchanges in 2021. That's the strongest number of deals since 2000. And for the traditional IPO route, we saw record levels of capital being raised. But as we turn to 22, we saw several in-flight SPAC mergers near completion. However, the volume of such de-SPACs was significantly lower when compared to those of 21. SPAC IPOs also retreated. And as for traditional IPOs and direct listings, we also witnessed a drop in 22 compared to the run of the last decade. The number of U.S. equity capital markets offerings decreased quite significantly compared to a year ago, down 73% compared to 21. Unfortunately, it's been the slowest period for U.S. IPOs since the 2009 financial crisis, and the overall capital raised across the product is down about 80% compared to a year ago. I do think it's also important to look at IPO performance, which for companies that have gone public since 2020 is down by at least 40%. The overall performance of the most recent vintage IPOs has been dragged down by market volatility, creating a deeply negative picture for overall performance. An important question is how much of the performance of recent IPOs and SPACs is a function of the macroeconomic environment versus the caliber of the company or the mechanism through which these companies went public. I do think there is a mix, as there are a lot of quality companies that have been impacted by the general macroeconomy. There's also a view out there that much of 22's decline was due to global macroeconomic events, such as tighter monetary policy by central banks across the globe, most notably the U.S. Federal Reserve, geopolitical concerns, continued supply chain disruptions, labor challenges, and also reassessment of growth, scale, profitability, and valuation multiples. We're experiencing volatility across stock markets around the world, inflation, fears of recession, interest rate hikes, and regulatory concerns.
Thank you, Shari. That was very insightful. So perhaps if we take a moment and unpack some of those economic events that you mentioned. And Ken, I would be really interested to hear your thoughts on this as we look at the road ahead. From an economic perspective, is there a storm brewing? Should I keep an umbrella handy? How are those economic events and trends expected to impact capital markets?
That's a great question, Tishan. And certainly the metaphor is a storm brewing that is on the top of mind of both businesses and consumers because of the sharp increase in interest rates that the Federal Reserve has engineered so far. So just to put it into context, if we think about it, at the beginning of this year in March, the federal funds rate was close to 0%. But in subsequent months, because of the high rate of inflation in the U.S. economy, the Federal Reserve has been raising rates at its most aggressive pace since the 1980s.
Wow.
Currently, yes, certainly wow is is the reaction among global financial market participants. As we just heard Sherry indicate, not only has the Fed been raising rates, so has other central banks around the world just to keep pace with the United States. So currently, the federal funds rate, the front-end policy rate, is at 4%. So we can certainly see that it is up sharply since March of this year. The Fed has one more meeting before 2022 draws to a close. And we do expect the Fed to raise rates on December 14th. But the key difference is we expect the Fed, as well as the market, that the Fed will raise its target rate by 50 basis points, which would actually be an improvement from the 75 basis points that the Fed has increased rates for the previous four consecutive meetings. So there is a glimmer of hope that the Fed will be resorting to smaller rate increases going forward. And the main reason for that is several weeks ago, for the month of October, CPI came in at 7.7%, which it is still obviously very high and sharply above the Fed's target of 2%. But nevertheless, it was a sharp step down from the 8.2 reading that we saw in September. Interestingly, one day before the Fed meets on December 14th, on December 13th, we'll get the November CPI report. So assuming that's not a upside surprise, we do feel the Fed will enact just a 0.5% increase in the key Fed funds rate versus the much larger increases that they have been carrying out throughout most of 2022.
Interesting. Thank you for that. So if we consider some of those key points and really that shift in the direction that we're seeing, can you help us understand how that 2023 economic outlook may actually then shift the direction of short-term corporate goals?
So despite the glimmer of hope that I did present, we all know that common saying that interest rates do work as a lag on the economy. So a lot of the sharp increases that we are seeing in 22, the full ramification of those rate hikes won't really be felt until 2023. As a result, we do expect the U.S. economy to enter a recession in the first half of next year, which is a call that a lot of other economists, analysts are expecting a similar outcome of a contraction in the U.S. economy in both Q1 and Q2 of 2023. So for corporate goals, they certainly need to keep top of mind different scenarios, aspects of how they should behave and react in terms of a potential downturn in the U.S. economies. So not only is GDP expected to go lower, so will revenues. So how will companies, both small, medium, and, well, small, medium, and large corporations, how will they mitigate the decline in revenues that hopefully we expect to be a mild recession? So by the second half of 2023, we hope to be in recovery. But at least for the immediate term coming up, corporate goals will be how to mitigate these negative influences on the economy in the coming quarters immediately ahead.
Thank you, Ken. So with that understanding of the first half and the second half of next year, Shari, I'd love to hear your thoughts how that could impact the actual entry into the broader capital markets into the U.S. What do you think?
Yeah, well, certainly, you know, as we heard Ken say, we're anticipating a recession, at least in the first half of 2023, hopefully with recovery in the second half. And what typically happens when you're in anticipation of a recession, it does have negative impacts on the expectations of companies' performance, revenue growth, and valuation multiples. And none of those are favorable circumstances for going public. So this is leading companies to choose to wait to raise capital until economic conditions improve and there is a higher expectation of growth and higher valuation multiples. We're also currently seeing higher barriers to entry in the capital markets. It'll likely be harder for early stage companies and inexperienced executives to raise capital due to their limited track records and non-established relationships with the investment community. The outlook for fundraising is now going to focus more on quality and will likely occur for companies that are already sector leaders with strong market share and fast-growing revenues. Investors are likely to seek better terms across fewer deals that can actually display a higher level of cash flows. So despite the 2022 IPO drought, the pipeline for companies actually looking to access the public markets at some point in the future, it does remain strong. There is a healthy pipeline of companies looking to IPO that had actually already announced IPO plans, but that hadn't yet closed and are now waiting better market conditions. At KPMG, we continue to advise numerous private companies on public company readiness who are looking to confidentially submit a draft registration statement during 2023. Many companies are evaluating their options for launching their IPOs in either 23 or into 24.
That's an interesting point, Shari. So based on KPMG's 2022 CAO survey results, 22% of CAOs and 28% of executives are actually contemplating an entry into the capital markets in the next 1 to 2 years. Further, 25% of CAOs and 38% of execs plan to enter the capital markets within that 3 to 5 year range. Do you have any initial reactions to those statistics?
Yeah, well, I think it's a good sign that there's still a significant amount of interest in capital raising. And, you know, contemplating entering the capital markets over the next 5 years, most of them are saying they're looking at following a traditional IPO approach versus some of the other mechanisms for going public, as they felt like this path is best aligned with the company's goals. I think the marketplace still believes that SPACs will continue to be part of the going public ecosystem, as the SPAC product has been around for decades. But I think the peak of SPACs is likely behind us. And in times when markets are volatile, companies tend to look to private equity or venture capital as bridge financing before going public. The early stage venture capital space has experienced a significant slowdown as investors wait for better market conditions and more reasonable valuations. However, I think we all know that available dry powder is currently at record highs. The VCs have enough dry powder to make numerous investments globally. But with a recession approaching, investors are looking for companies that are capable with their strategies to surpass such difficult times. And I think also companies will be looking to raise capital via debt to satisfy short-term cash needs.
With that in mind, can you help us understand what companies are currently focused on and how they are getting ready for the capital market window to open up again? And perhaps further to that, how we at KPMG can help those on the capital market journey?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's important for us all to understand that we're actually in a resetting stage currently, which is an interesting time for companies to actually spend the time to evaluate their capital market strategy. During uncertain times, companies need to focus on building a recession-proof business model, creating a strong equity story showcasing how the company can successfully perform above its peers during times of both economic growth as well as recession. So in a rapidly changing market environment with increasing volatility, companies are resorting to and building strategies to cope with the highly unstable economic environment. They must improvise by quality checking their operating models, their strategic position in the market, and other abilities that enable them to respond to the crisis. Maintaining cash reserves, grabbing digital transformation opportunities, along with investing in ESG and prioritizing automation, are all sound strategies. So notwithstanding the fact that the markets appear to be closed or extraordinarily slow from the outside, because of the time it takes for most potential registrants to be public company ready when the markets do reopen, many potential registrants continue to work on their preparedness to be public. And during this preparedness stage, companies need to determine if they can demonstrate performance and get the pricing that they want. Companies are looking to re-engage with their advisors and with the investor community, thinking about an on-ramp for an IPO potentially into next year. And those companies need the right expertise at the right time to provide leading practices. And this is where KPMG plays a key role. We help companies navigate through and around potential obstacles, placing companies in the best possible position for a capital markets transaction. We bring a multidisciplinary approach to providing advice and solutions to complex issues, and we help companies implement sound capital market strategies with a minimum of disruption to their business so that they are ready when the markets are ready, because they will reopen. I think it's just a matter of time.
Thank you, Sherry and Ken, for sharing your perspectives on the capital markets and the economic outlook for 2023. For our listeners, if you're looking for further details, we recommend taking a look at KPMG's Thought Leadership Regarding Capital Market Readiness and Economic Updates, which of those materials are linked in the landing page of this podcast. Also, feel free to reach out to understand how at KPMG we can help you navigate your journey in regards to the capital markets. Thank you for tuning in, and from everyone at KPMG, we wish you a great start to the new year.